Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Well, let's just pray, shall we?
And ask the Lord to help us.
Loving Father, we thank you that you're tender and gracious as well as being almighty, Lord. Lord, to take broken, spoiled and damaged people, Lord, and restore. I mean, what a feat of engineering, Lord. It's amazing grace. So we bless you, Lord, and thank you that you are the living Lord, the one that comes to bring life and hope. And I pray that that may be our experience this morning. As we come into your presence, look at your word, Lord. Grant us mercy, grant us grace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Right. Okay, let's have our first one then, shall we?
Just turn that straight.
Click on the slide, yes, that's it. On the road to Emmaus. That's where we're going today. Okay? On the road to Emmaus. And it's chapter 24. It's one of my favourite chapters in the Bible, is, although I've got quite a few. But this is definitely one of the top ones. I really love this. I would have loved to have been with those guys, as you'll see. So it's chapter 24, verses 13-35. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem, and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us they'd seen visions of angels, who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have written. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and he's appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Amen. So there's the story, and we'll just have a little look at the details. So the next picture, please. Here we are, the road to Emmaus. I've got you some pictures. That is the road to Emmaus. It's from Jerusalem running down to Emmaus. Emmaus over the back in the distance, right? It's a Roman road, and these are still remains of the Roman road. It's falling to pieces these days. It hasn't really been well maintained. And that's the road leading from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Now, we've got four choices for Emmaus. Just thought I'd throw that in for you. There's the traditional one, which is Emmaus Nicopolis. That's 19 miles away. bit far that really, right? And then there's this Habeas Costellum, that's about 9 miles, something like that. And then there's this Habeas Cubibea, that's a bit further away as well. But the one that we're opting for is this one that's Colonia, right, or Mozart, right? That's 3.5 miles away. So how come that Luke says it's 7 miles? It's a return journey, you got it. Oh, you're smart people here, I can see. Right, so that same day, they were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Now these guys, well, I assume they're guys, we're told there's one guy, it might have been his wife with him for all I know, but you never know. Two people are walking along the road to Emmaus. After all that's happened on that Sunday morning, mysterious events, strange things happening, and they're all a bit puzzled. So they're walking back. Maybe they're going home, I don't know. But let's see what next, please. So they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. There they are, walking along, and they're going over the events, you know, when something strange has happened, you try to re-go over it, you know, and figure out what's happened. And so, just a quick run. On Thursday, that was last Thursday, there'd been the Passover. Jesus had celebrated the Passover with the disciples. That was the beginning of Passover week. The festival of the Passover isn't just a one-day thing, it lasts a whole week. So that's when it started on Thursday, and then on Friday, Friday's called Preparation Day. What's the preparation for? It wasn't for the feast. No, Preparation Day became a name to stand for Friday. A regular Friday was called Preparation Day. What were they preparing for? The Sabbath! Yeah, got it, right, okay. And on that Friday, on the Preparation Day, Jesus was crucified. So they knew about those events, and they're talking about that, strange that Jesus should be arrested and crucified. And then on Saturday, it was a special Sabbath. It was special because it occurred during the feast week. So that's what made it unusual. It was a special Sabbath on that. And during the Sabbath, against all their traditions, customs, rules, everything else, the priests went to speak to the Gentile ruler, Pilate. They made a request to ask that there be a guard put around the tomb, because that deceiver said he'd be back, and we don't want that happening, do we? So the priests went, and Pilate says to him, you sort it out, get your own lot. And so they had the Roman guard and others around just to make sure nobody got into the tomb, because they weren't expecting anybody coming out, were they?
No.
Well, what happened on Sunday was the tomb was empty. Puzzle. Why? And these disciples, that's all they know. It's empty. That's it. Okay, next slide, please. When, as they talked, you notice the difference there? Yes, right. I brushed him out on the first one. Right, he's back in now. Yes. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. Well, this stranger, as they're walking along, turns up. Where did he come from? Well, that's a bit of a mystery to start with. But then we're told they were kept from recognizing him. What, in one way, were they kept from recognizing him?
Crazy, wouldn't they?
Well, there's a natural explanation. I don't think the natural explanation is adequate at all, to be honest. But I'll throw it in because it's true for all of us. Yeah, you can't see what you don't expect. Right? My wife tells me that all the time. Yeah, you're looking for something, but you're not expecting to find it where it is, so you don't see it.
No.
Yeah. So they weren't expecting to see a live Jesus, so they wouldn't see him. But I think there's something more to it than that. They were kept, it says, yeah, and I think God prevented them from recognizing Jesus. For a very good reason. Because Jesus is going to tell them a few things from the Bible. And I promise you this, they're like little children, if they get excited, they won't listen. Yeah? So if Jesus had appeared to them, and they had recognized him, they'd be so excited, they wouldn't have caught anything of what he said. Right, so in order to get some stuff into their heads, God stops up going in their eyes. Right, so that's what's going on there. Next slide, please. Right, he asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? Well, If you were walking along, minding your own business, and a stranger turns up and starts asking you what you're talking about, it'd be strange, wouldn't it? Yeah, but obviously the way he asked them, they weren't offended or anything, obviously. And maybe they were more sociable in those days than we are now. I don't know. But anyway, Jesus is opening the conversation. Yeah, what are you talking about, lads? What's it all about? Yeah? So that's good. Right, getting them to talk. Right. They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" They stood still, their faces downcast. What's that tell you? Their body language. They are seriously sad. But worse than that, they've got no hope. They've lost everything they were hoping for. It's all gone. Do you know, that's the worst state for anybody to be in, when you haven't got anything to hope for, you know? And they're really downcast, it says, yeah? And who's this Cleopas? One of them named Cleopas. Who's he? Well, I don't know. He's called Cleopas. He's one of the disciples, I can tell you that, right? But there were loads of them. But he's called Cleopas. Well, they've mentioned his name for some reason. Luke might have known him personally or something, yeah? Anyway, Cleopas says, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem that doesn't know these things that have happened there?" Basically, he's saying, everybody else knows what's gone on here. Have you only just turned up then? Yeah? Well, they had only just turned up, but not quite the way they were thinking, yeah? Are you a late arrival, a visitor to Jerusalem? Because there are people coming from all around the Mediterranean, the then-known world, to come to the feast of the Passover. So, say, maybe he doesn't know because, you know, he's only just turned up. Right, okay, next then, please. So, Jesus says to them, "What things?" Now then, friends, you should be laughing there, right? God has got a tremendous sense of humour. I mean, here's the person that they're thinking about and talking about, and he said, "What things?" You know? That's funny. I think it's funny anyway. Yeah? Right? Okay. But, it also has this thing of being unlocking them. It's a key, right? What things? It gets them talking about the things that they're upset about. It's good to talk. Especially if things have got you down and you're worried and anxious and upset and hopeless, yeah, depressed, yeah, get talking about it, yeah, face your demons, as they say, right? So Jesus is getting to face up to what's happened, right? So he's asking them, what things, right? Next one, please. About Jesus of Nazareth. So they can tell him all that they've seen and heard. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. Now just think, the things that have happened to Jesus recently do not negate the things that they'd experienced of Jesus before. They were impressed by Jesus. Yeah? The miracles he did, the things he said, and whatever happened on Good Friday and all that stuff, that doesn't stop that being what happened before there. It was an amazing thing that Jesus was. And so they still believe in Jesus. It shows that they love him. They believe that Jesus was a mighty prophet. He was a person that was in a deep relationship with his Father God, and so they love him. They still love him, although he's gone. Right? So their hearts are good. We've given that. Yes. Next one, please. Right. And then they say the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Do you know, that's the sad... I mean, it's my favourite chapter in the Bible, but that's probably the saddest line in the Bible. We had hoped. Yeah? That means they didn't hope anymore. It's all gone. What a terrible state to be in, yeah? We had hope. And what were they hoping for? That he was the Messiah. He was going to be the one who was going to redeem Israel. Well, their hope's all gone, but what's their problem? They were expecting the Messiah to be something that Messiah wasn't going to be at that point in time. If you have views of God that aren't of God, then you're going to be disappointed with your God, because he's not like what you thought he was. Yeah? And they thought the Messiah should come and thump the Romans. They thought that, I'm sure, as well, you know. It's time to fix these Romans, yeah? So Messiah, he's going to sort them all out, and then he gets killed by them. It's not the way they thought of it, and so all their human hope, in a sense, is gone. Sad, but it happens. False expectations, brothers and sisters, will let you down. Make sure you get your proper expectations from the Bible. Right. Next one, please. And what is more? Right, this is quite a bit that they go through, yeah? What is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels, who said he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb, and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. So, they're just saying, well, we've heard these rumours, some say he's alive, but we don't believe it, do we? Right? Can you believe it? It's ridiculous, isn't it? That's really what they're saying. It's really strange, this stuff, you know. I mean, it just doesn't happen, does it? So, some of our women amazed us. Yes, we talked about that last week, didn't we? They came telling them they'd seen angels. Angel said he's alive. And did they believe him?
No.
Not at all. Great. Well, so, next one, please. He said to them, how foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Jesus tells them off. Have you ever been told off by Jesus?
Yeah.
He can straighten us out, you know. Well, in a gentle way, but he tells them off. He says, how foolish you are, and slow to believe. You're really spiritually thick. That's what he's saying. You don't get it, do you? He says, how foolish you are, and slow to believe all of the prophets have spoken. It's in the Bible, boys, he says. If it's in the Bible, it's true. That's what he's getting at. It's in the book. Right? If it's in the book, then it's true. You should have believed the prophets. The prophets said the Messiah's coming, the Messiah's going to suffer, and the Messiah's going to enter into his glory. That's in the book. You should have read it. But the problem is, you read all the good bits and avoid the bad bits. That's their problem. So they got a mixed up idea of what the Messiah was going to do. One thing that's really interesting in this, and it's a wonderful thing for me anyway, here we see what Jesus' view of the Bible is. Yeah? How does Jesus view the Bible? With authority. If it's in there, it's going to happen. If God said it, he'll do it. Yeah? That's Jesus' view of the Bible. It's the word of God. Right. So, and that's after his resurrection. I don't know if you know this, brothers and sisters, but some people have really had a bit of a go at Jesus, you know. Jesus said some funny things, you know, about Adam and Eve and about the flood. Well, we don't believe that nowadays, do we? Yeah? And Jonah, he talked about Jonah. We don't believe that nowadays, you see. Because Jesus was talking as a man of his day, before his resurrection, you know. He was part of his time, right? Well, the answer to that is, Jesus says the same things after he's risen from the dead.
Yeah?
Yeah? So if he laid aside his glory before, he hasn't now. He knows what he's talking about. Well, he knew what he was talking about in the first place, of course. So, I think that's wonderful. Jesus' view of the Bible is a very high view. Should be yours as well. Next then, please. Right. Did not, this is what Jesus explains, did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? So, Jesus is saying, he's summarising the message of the Bible is that the Messiah's work is a two-stage thing. He comes first, I've got a black bit there. Why did he come first? To suffer and die. To deal with sin. Right? You can't have a heaven full of sinners. You won't get there if you're a sinner. Right? So, he's got to come and deal with sin first. And the way to deal with sin is, the wages of sin is
death.
Somebody's got to pay. And if it's not Jesus, it'll be you. Right? But Jesus offers to take the penalty. Right? So, the Messiah dies and then enters his glory. Then he'll sort the Romans out and everybody else besides, of course. Yes, when he comes to judge the world. Right, then, next please. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. I don't know if you... I hope you are aware of this, but the Bible's, from start to finish, has got hints, prophecies, references that can only be fulfilled by Jesus. He's in the book from the start to the finish. Right at the beginning, yes, when God spoke to Adam and Eve, He talked about Satan being destroyed. He says, you'll strike his heel and he'll tread on you and destroy you. Yeah? That was a prophecy of the Messiah coming to destroy Satan's work. It's all, in a sense, covered and shielded a bit, but once you look back, you see it. Right? And that's what Jesus is doing for the disciples. He's giving them a back look, say, do you know now? Do you remember how he talks about it? He was buried with a rich man in his death, yeah? And they cast lots for his clothing. It's in the book, right? It talks about Messiah coming and bringing the glory. It's in the book. Yeah, so, starting with Moses and all the prophets, what does that mean? It means it's the Jewish Bible. Yeah? Moses, the prophets and the writings, it's the Jewish Bible. That's all the Bible they got at the time. So starting with we call it the Old Testament, right? From start to finish, he talked about the things that that Jesus could be found in him. It's about Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Let me just give you a few examples, right? Yeah? Things that are prophesied around the events of Jesus. You know when Moses was in his little basket, why was he in the basket? He was hiding. His mum hid him because Pharaoh was trying to wipe out the Jewish boys, wasn't he? Yeah. Why was Pharaoh trying to wipe out the Jewish boys? Two reasons. One was, yeah, he was getting worried about them taking over. Complete lie. Yeah. But what was behind it all, Pharaoh didn't know, was Messiah is coming through the Jews. So if it bumped the boys off, we've stopped it. That's what Herod thought as well. Yeah. Which, down the history, it's in the book. Yes, there's resistance to Messiah. Well, fancy that? Yeah, because he's come to mess up Satan's work. Praise the Lord. Good. What about, just imagine, hey? Would it happen? Well, I would have. Would you like to meet with Jesus, walking along the Emmaus Road with those guys, having a Bible study, second to none, by the resurrected Jesus? I mean, this is seriously good stuff. You know? Oh, my, yes. Anyway, we've got some of it from the apostles. They've given us some clues and so on. But you can do it yourself. Go through the book and look for Jesus. Yeah? Next one, please. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over. Well, where were they going, first of all? We're often given the impression that they were stopping at an inn. But were they going home? It doesn't say. I think they might have been going home. And so they offer him hospitality. People do that, don't they? Yeah. You know, when a stranger comes along and you want to be friends, you come on in. You can stop with us. Yeah. That's number one. He says, but Jesus continued as if he was going further. Would he have gone further? Would he have gone further? For us this morning, I think this is a real key point I want to share with you. Jesus, I believe, would have gone further. One thing stopped him. They wanted him to stay. Yeah? Jesus responded to the need of their hearts. Right? Yeah? That's what stopped him. They asked him to stay. They invited him in. Have you done that? Invite him into your home, your heart. Right? They asked him, they invited him to join with them. And of course, for them, they were saying, it's getting late. But I suspect they also wanted to spend more time with him. Yeah? They've had a pretty good time walking along, haven't they? I suspect, you know, Jesus attracts because he's wonderful. Yeah? And so, they don't know that. They don't know it's Jesus, but they know there's something special about this person, must be. Yeah, so, please stay. It's getting late, you know. And we've arrived where we're going, so would you like to join us? Yeah? Great. Yes. Next one, please. So, he went in to stay with them. How about that? Well, I've turned their request into a prayer. They said, come and stay with us, Jesus. Yeah? That's a prayer, really. Yeah, come and stay. And Jesus answers prayers like that. You invite him in, he's willing to come. Is that good? Right. But he wants to be invited, brothers and sisters. He won't push himself in. It's because he wants you to will to do that. He wants you to choose to do that. Yes? Because God wants you engaged as the whole person that you are. Mind, emotions, all of it. Your will, yeah? Jesus, come and stay. Right. So he went in with them. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Well, there it is. It's a very familiar scene. They must have done that 1,000 times, in a way. Right? But there's something unusual. I don't know if it grabs you, but it does me. Is Jesus has taken over. Yeah. He's there, yes. I assume.
Yeah.
Right? But Jesus has taken over. He's assumed leadership at the meal. He's the one that breaks the bread and distributes it. Yeah? Isn't that interesting? They recognise there's authority in this person. There's something about him that's special. Right? And so he does he's acting as the rabbi, in a sense, isn't he? He gets the food, he blesses it, prays, thanks God for it, and gives it to the disciples, to these two guys. Or this guy and this lady, as I say, I don't know whether it is or not. But anyway, there you are. He speaks as one who had authority, they recognise it in Jesus. So he's taken over the meal. Right, next one, please. Did you see the picture there? Did you see him go?
Yes.
Right. Could you go back one? Right, go back one, previous. Right, there you are. And the next picture. Ta-da! Right. Then, it's amazing what you do with computers these days. Then their eyes were opened and they recognised him and he disappeared from their sight. Oh my, what a thing to do, eh? Why so soon? There they are. The moment they recognise him, he's gone. Why did he do it?
To let them know.
To let them know. Well, it was enough. They had seen him. And they recognised him, right? But there's something else I think that's important.
I think because he wanted them also to have faith, the fact that they'd seen him and then he'd gone, they start questioning themselves, did we really see him?
Yes, they've got to trust. It's got to be about faith. But there's something else I'd like to say is this. Things have changed. Jesus is no longer going to be physically with them.
Mm.
Right?
Ah, yeah.
Right? And so they're going to have to trust him when they don't see him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's bad. That's lesson number one they're going to learn. They've seen him, he's real, yes, but right, things have changed. Right? And also, I mean, you know, they get too excited, wouldn't they? Excited disciples are funny people. Yeah? And so, he wants them to go back with the news. Yeah? He wants them to go back with the news, because these resurrection appearances aren't just for their benefit, they're for the disciples' benefit. To confirm to them, he really has come back from the dead. And so, next then please. Right. They ask each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? There they are, thinking about what's just gone past. See? Wow. Were not our hearts burning within us? They were excited. They were deeply moved. They were thrilled with what Jesus was saying to them. Is that wonderful, eh? And I've just got a little question. What effect does fellowship with Jesus in the scriptures have on us? When was the last time when you were reading your Bible you got excited? Because that's what happened to them. Yeah? Jesus is there, you know? And, I'm not saying we live on cloud nine all the time, but are there moments when, you know, you're reading your Bible, wow, Lord, is that wonderful? You're so amazing, yeah? Yeah. When God, almost as it were, points out the verses, that's for you. That's for you. Yeah. Doesn't your heart warm up a bit? Right? John Wesley, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, he was at a meeting and they were reading a passage in one of Paul's letters, either Galatians or Romans, I'm not sure which it was now, but Wesley says, my heart was strangely warm. Now Wesley was a control freak. No, I'm not trying to be unkind to him, yeah? But he was an organiser, and thank God for it. Yeah? He was a first-class, cool-headed organiser, right? And when Wesley says, my heart was strangely warm, yeah? That's the Yorkshire way of saying not bad. Yeah? Yeah? When we say not bad, we mean yes, right? But we don't get carried away by it. Yes? But his heart was strangely warm, yeah? Well, these guys' hearts are strangely warm as they have fellowship with Jesus in the Bible. I pray about that. When you go to read your Bible, ask the Holy Spirit to help you to experience Jesus' presence as you read. Yeah. Well, that's what happened to them. Yes, they really got it. Yeah, wonderful. Next, please. So, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There, they're legging it back. Do you notice how they were going that way, plodding along? Right. But now they're going the other way. What's made the difference?
Jesus.
Jesus made the difference. But what's happened psychologically to them? They got hope. They got hope now. Yes, it's all going to work out. Hope will put some muscle into your legs and some energy into your heart. Yes. They go back. I don't think they've finished the meal. Not even hungry anymore. Right? So they're so excited at what's happened. So they've got definitely enthusiasm on their return journey. Brilliant. Next slide, please. Right. Then they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it's true, the Lord has risen and appeared to Simon. Well, there were those with them, with the 11. You see, there wasn't just the 11 disciples, there were lots of disciples. And they're all gathered there together, and these guys turn up and start telling them about what they'd seen. But they said, it's true, he's really risen. The Lord has appeared to Simon. Well, he'd appeared to Mary Magdalene as well. Right? Why do they only believe the men? Strange, isn't it? I mean, I've got a wife and two girls, you know. I've learned to believe ladies. Right? Yeah. Okay. Right. So, Simon Peter's seen Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Yeah. Simon Peter has seen Jesus. Why did Jesus... It's another story in a way. Why did Jesus appear to Simon Peter? Because Simon Peter had badly let Jesus down. He'd really messed up big time. Jesus is there to say, I'm not holding that against you, Peter. It was a learning lesson for you. Come on, back in business. We're going to be working together. Wonderful, eh? Good old Simon Peter. That's what it's about. Yeah. Next slide, please. Right. When the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. It's amazing, isn't it? As Jesus broke, what did they see when he broke the bread?
The same thing that's happened on a previous occasion.
On previous occasions, the same event, but there's something different.
It's nailed to his hands.
Nails. Holes in the hand. Yeah? They saw that. His wounds brought recognition. Right? That's how you recognize Jesus, yeah? It's by his fact that he's died for you. Right, yeah? So, they told their story and of the moment of the recognition. Not about when he disappeared. I mean, that's what happened, yeah? In fact, as we'll see next time we look at Luke, he turns up in the room with them. And the interesting thing, I've just a little taste of it. These guys have got a sweat on when they arrive back. I guarantee that. Right? Blowing and puffing. They were fit, but I mean, 3.5 miles back is on the run is a bit of a tiring job, isn't it? Yeah? So they're all sweating, telling them what happens. And Jesus comes into the room, cool as a cucumber. How did he do that journey, just like that? Well, there you are. That's our Lord for you, eh? Wonderful. So, they tell him about how they recognize Jesus by him breaking the bread, sharing with them, showing them his love, taking the lead, right, and seeing the nail marks, I guess, as well. Right, next slide, please, and I think that's the last. So, here we are, my last little bit. Have you offered your invitation? Remember, he's on the road, he's passing by, yes, but he waits to be invited. Jesus needs your invitation to come into your heart. It's amazing. Right? God's sovereign. God can do anything, but he won't force himself on you. That's amazing, isn't it? God treats you as a human being with responsibilities and a heart. Yeah? So, have you offered your invitation to Jesus? Lord Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life. Make me one of yours. Yeah? Let me see you. Let me understand what it's all about. Yeah? And I've got a lovely passage in Romans 15:4. This is what happened to those two guys, or guy and lady, because they were walking along. It's in Romans. Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Right? The Bible will give you hope. It's God's word. It's not just a book. It speaks to people's hearts and lives. It's done it down the centuries. It can do it for you and me today. Yeah? So, for those disciples, it wasn't just Jesus speaking, which was wonderful. It was Jesus speaking the word. The word brings light and life and hope, that we might have hope through it all. Right? So, last little question. Yeah. Does the Bible have its role in your relationship with Jesus? Yeah? Or are you like my dear father-in-law? I mean, I do believe he came to the Lord towards the end of his life. Yeah? that for most of his life he believed that the Bible, that it was a good book. He used to carry one in his glove compartment in the car. Right? Never read it. It was there in the car. What was it there for?
Case of
Brakes Fail. Case of what? Case of Brakes Fail. Case of car brakes
fail. No,
Case of Brakes Fail. Case of Brakes Fail, yeah. It was a good book, wasn't it? That's all it was. Yeah. Fancy using God's word like that. It's no good. Right? The only way that the Bible will help you is to get it inside you, not in your glove compartment. Right? And one more thing I must say, I'll be mentioning this tonight as well, but you won't understand a word of it until the Holy Spirit begins to help you see. Ask Him to put the light on, and you'll be surprised what you discover. Yeah, that's true. I mean, do you know my worst subject at school was RE? Yeah, of course. Absolutely useless. I mean, I could quote bits of it, and, you know, stuff like that. So what? I knew it, but didn't do any good, right? And then, when God began to work in my heart, this book became, whoa, man, it's fantastic. Yeah. What made the difference? The Holy Spirit. Okay. Turn the light on. So, does the Bible have its role in your relationship with Jesus? If it doesn't, it needs to. Because that's the way that you'll get going on in the Lord. Yeah? So let's just pray, shall we? And thank the Lord. He's alive. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, for those appearances, Lord, that show the disciples things have changed, Lord. We don't see you physically yet. We will do one day, Lord. But in the meantime, we can trust you. You know us. You're there. You're able to help us. And we thank you in your promised Holy Spirit. Puts the light on and puts the life in. So Lord, bless us and help us, and thank you for those disciples, for their enthusiasm, for the hope that you brought to them. Lord, and what you've done for them, you've done for countless others ever since. Lord, work your wonders today amongst us, in our hearts, for we ask it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.